I'd just like to know, I know you have you've done the, in vitro for this pregnancy.
Yes, I did.
But what made you decide to do it that way? Was that the best alternative for the second pregnancy?
You know, my husband and I had tried to have a second child, first naturally, and then we tried a process called IUI, which is insemination, where they take the sperm and inject them, and there is more sperm that actually go in to hopefully meet the egg.
Right.
When that failed twice, then we went down the road of IVF. I've known a lot of people that have done it. Both my, a lot of my people that my husband and I both knew have walked that road. So that was kind of, the next step for us when I wasn't getting pregnant otherwise or staying pregnant. My problem was that I was getting pregnant, but I couldn't remain pregnant. I had
Ah.
had several miscarriages. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Those can always be really, really difficult for you. How did you bounce back from those to and decide to continue on?
You know, I'm a persistent woman. I just don't, life throws us a lot of curveballs, and it's just part of life. And so I wasn't going to give up on something that I wanted most importantly for my daughter and for our family. But I knew that, we can't explain a lot of things that happen. Obviously, tragedies to people, illness, miscarriages are in that wheelhouse. And I just said, we're not going to, it's not time to give up yet. It's not time to stop trying. And here we are. So, why I wanted to talk about this so openly, and I felt that it's become, a mission for me, is to tell people out there that have maybe given up hope that miracles exist. They are very alive, and that we need to maybe start to look at, our lives and consider how important miracles are and how important medicine is as well, but that the two of them coming together, can make for a wonderful experience. And that's what I have pretty much walked through in this last year and a half. So I couldn't have done this without the medical team supporting me. I, was with a Dr. Daniel Potter, who's at HRC Fertility in Newport Beach, and he really championed me and didn't say, oh, you're too old, or oh, you're not capable. He said, we need a miracle, and we need this to work, and I'm going to do everything I can to champion you. So I think you need people that, that's their mantra. And so that was a big, important part of it. And bouncing back from the miscarriages, I understood that that wasn't God's timing. That wasn't right. And, I do believe that souls come in even for a short time. So was that, that can be maybe a little difficult to wrap your head around, but every soul has a purpose, and there's so many things that we don't understand, that we have to just chalk up to something bigger than us. And that's whether you believe in God or the universe or whatever that may be. So I just looked at it as okay, this is the journey to get to the right baby for us and, the right sibling for my daughter, and here we are. So
No,
I'm
it's all
very, very
wonderful.
grateful. Very grateful. My husband is a physician, as well as my brother-in-law, as well as my husband's father. So I can never not credit medicine to the to what, you know, what how far we've come is pretty incredible. But if you look back, 40 years ago, women were taking fertility pills.
Yes, they were.
So this is just a much more advanced version. Our next hurdle is to get insurance to pay for this for people that can't afford it. That would be my next thing I would say, let's fight to help people be able to try IVF, that maybe financially don't think that they can.
Oh, wow. So it's still very expensive.
Yes, it can be expensive, you know, and that's, I think, maybe the discouraging part for people. But there are always, I think, ways, you know, if you really, again, are persistent, that you could reach out and try to get aid from some of the companies with, you know, that provide the drugs. I think where there's a will, there's a way. So you have to look at it in a very positive light. And, you know, for people that maybe can't jump to IVF, I think you should consider IUI. I ran into a couple that had seen our show, and they tried IUI after several, you know, failures to get pregnant. They saw this flipping out last season, and they did IUI, and now they're pregnant with twins. And that's a much more affordable, you know, second step. So, but I would say, you know, be your own advocate and try to find ways. I mean, reach out, see what you can do, see if somebody can get you on a financial plan. I wouldn't say to not try and just get discouraged before you even try to make something happen. You know what I mean?
No, I totally. I am a person who believes very much in faith and miracles and God, and I just believe that anything that, I believe anything can happen. I truly do. And I think that,
you know, we're at a time in the world that I think it's very important to talk about this openly, because we have two ways to think. We can think from a place of gratitude and a place of that things can happen, and that, yeah, maybe it may seem like the impossible, but, you know, see people writing books and coming out with stories of, wow, I never thought that I could be cured of, you know, this disease, or my son had this tumor and they said he wouldn't live. And people do break the rules and miracles happen. So I think if you really are out there, you're listening to this and you want a child, then, you know, don't give up on that. It may come to you and in a way you're not expecting. I didn't expect that I would have to do, you know, all these medical kind of procedures to get where I'm at, but I'm very grateful that this is, you know, the time and the baby that wanted to come to our family and to this world at this time. So that's what you should focus on. You know, it's all about where you put your focus, I think.
Yeah, it is. And so how much time do you plan to take off? Because you're a very dedicated mommy. How much time do you plan to take off after the baby's born?
Well, if you know my boss, I think he would say probably 48 hours. But I expect, hopefully, for a little more time than that. I'm hoping for a few months. You know, I think we'll just take it day by day to see what's going on, you know, with my work. I have other projects in addition to working with Jeff, so which has also, you know, been a great joy. And, you know, they have their daughter now, and she's just such a delight, and they're adjusting to becoming parents, you know, as we all do. So I hope a few months, you know, and also that time with my daughter and the baby too will be lovely.
Oh, what is she saying? What's Aliana saying so far?
Aliana is thrilled. She's just, you know, it made, again, all the shots, all the disappointment, it made me understand why I kept championing on, really, for my little girl. She can't wait to be a big sister. She's preparing. She talks and includes her baby sister when she's talking about the future. And it just, you know, being a parent is the best thing that I'll ever do in my life. So the fact that I get to experience that again is not only overwhelming, but, you know, just it brings me joy that is hard to even explain.
The way I'll put it is most times new mommies are very, very sensitive. They want you to use a special blanket. Don't, you know, hold the baby this way. Most times by the time we hit our second baby, we're like, here, take the baby. we learn a little. Our edges soften. What do you think will change about this time?
You know, and it's funny because in a way it's much less terrifying because you've experienced a lot of it. So
oh, yeah.
You know kind of what to expect. But then on the other hand, you don't, you know, especially because you have a child now. So there's going to be a whole new set of things to experience, some challenges. I'm hoping Aliana will completely adjust and love her sister. But, you know, I've been very focused on telling her this is her baby.
Oh, wow.
So that she really understands that she's a part of every step of the way here. This isn't a, oh, now there's something else coming, so we're going to move you over. This is an encompassing that we are a family, and this is as much her baby as it is ours. So I think that has been good. But, yeah, are you kidding? I mean, I don't think I'll be using a wipes warmer. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, I think, the wipes, they've got to be warm. No, not this time around. People have a child and then they say, oh, my gosh, this is so hard. I don't know that I'll ever do this again. And then a little time goes by and you say, oh, my gosh, all I want is another baby. And then you think, oh, my gosh, I forgot how hard that was, you know. So I think that's God's way of just erasing your memory. I'm not looking forward to all the accessories because I've kind of gotten it dialed in with my daughter now. We have her backpack,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And there isn't the diaper bag and the wipes and the bottles and the bottle cleaner and the – so that – That causes a little bit of anxiety. However, I'm also so excited to have a little baby again because my daughter, you know, she's becoming a little girl now.
Yeah,
so it went by so fast.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's a good age because she can help me, and you know, we're so bright and intelligent that we just decided we'd get a puppy a few weeks ago. So my husband looked at me the other morning, he said, I thought we had a few more months before we went back into this newborn phase. I said, yeah, we probably should have thought that through. But why not? Bring it on, right? Bring it all on.
Yeah, you're used to Jeff. You're used to challenges. You can do it. You can do it.
That's right.
Yeah. How supportive has he been through this process?
Jeff has been wonderful. He actually, you know, he encouraged me to see Dr. Potter and this lovely coordinator of Dr. Potter, someone that's a part of his team, Angela Hartshorn, became my coordinator, which again, if you're going through IVF, I recommend you try to always have someone in addition to your doctor that you can turn to. And when he first recommended that, I thought, I don't need that. And you know, oh my gosh, that sounds like too much. And I actually just told him yesterday, I said, you know, for all the things that I haven't loved that you've done, I love that you set me up with this team of people that will bring me, you know, the greatest happiness of my life. So Jeff Lewis, you know, he's got a lot of good in him and he's been great. And so is Gage, and you know, they're figuring out parenting, but doing a wonderful job of it. And I keep telling them, you know, you're always going to feel as if you're a failure, but that's just part of it.
It is, because you always feel like you can
and
do better, more.
And
yeah.
You're not a failure, you know. And it's, you know, I think everybody that's a parent that's actually living in reality feels like that, you know.
No, you're absolutely, because you never quite get it right, like 100%, you know?
You never will.
Yeah, yeah. And
but isn't that, you know, isn't that kind of the beauty of it all? You can't really, nothing is perfect, you know?
No, and
except
you do.
For God. My sister's middle son has special needs.
Wow.
And he's been the greatest joy of our life. And my best friend's son has Down syndrome. So I also have been part of a pageant for girls with special needs called the Miss You Can Do It pageant for 6 years. And so my heart is very, you know, very much I have a big place in my heart for kids with special needs. And the thing is that it's not about what they can't do, it's about what they can do. And, you know, it's not about, it's about the possibility, not the impossibility. And so I've, every child with special needs I've met, ever met, has just changed my life in so many ways because of, first and foremost, their outlook. And if everybody could have an outlook like that, we would be in a much better place, I think, in the world.
Yeah, you end up feeling sorry for them, and they just are going on with life, and you're like, wait a minute.
No, and they have a purpose, and they are completely capable, and it's us that really actually have the disability. You know, it's not easy to see that there's a light there, but those are the times that you really just have to keep walking forward and be okay with the unknown.
What has been your main inspiration to keep you going?
For me, it's been my faith in something larger. You know, I grew up Greek Orthodox, and I have my whole life been influenced by my mom's strong faith and my sister and her husband. And I think also just understanding that people are going to stay and do what they want. You can't control that, but you can control running your own race and how you choose to go through the world. And so, you know, it's a day-by-day process, thinking, trying not to go towards the negative thinking, trying not to focus on the things that you shouldn't be focusing on. I'm not saying I have it figured out, but I try, and it's almost as if going the same as going to the gym. You say, okay, you're going to really try to change the way that you think and how you wake up and how you go through your day. And so I think that's kept me going, and definitely just focusing on what you do have rather than what you don't. And many times I just said, God, if you want me to have even one child that you've gifted me with, you know, I'm forever grateful. I believe, though, that the right child comes to the right person, and that can be through adoption, it can be through pregnancy, it can be through surrogacy. There's so many ways.
That's a nice way of putting it, actually, you know. That actually is a cool way of thinking about it. You do get the right child, because my son has transformed me, made me more patient, made me more understanding, you know. So you're absolutely
of
right.
Of course. You know? Of course. And that's what, again, that's what we all need to focus on, is that part of it is, you know. And also I think I understood that it was just going to be okay. You know, I look at my life where it is now and where it was 12 years ago, and I went through some hard times then, you know, with going through a divorce publicly and thinking that I would never meet anyone again. And then I look at what I waited for. And that's the other thing I would say to people is, you know, things are worth the wait. And it's not going to be gloom and doom forever. You just have to have faith in those really dark times and be okay with the unknown. Because the truth is, we really all are living in the unknown, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
We say we can control this, and we get into our car, but we don't know what's going to happen. And so I think the more you can get comfortable in that space, which is very difficult, but little by little you try to achieve that, I think the better. You know, the better off it will be for your own life and your happiness.
Wow. Well, you're very, very, very positive and inspirational, and I mean, I'm listening to you going, wow, your words will be an inspiration to so many others, because as you say, whether it's divorce is private or public, I can tell you it hurts. I married my prom date, and we subsequently, 11 years later, we divorced, and it hurt, and it wasn't public like yours. It still hurt. So
it doesn't matter. Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Public, private, you know, 6 months, 20 years, it doesn't matter. The hurt is there.
The hurt is there.
The hurt is there, but you were in each other's lives for a reason, and I still know that I am where I am today because of my first marriage and because of, you know, what we both learned, and I'm sure he feels the same to where he is today you know, as a father and more evolved. And so that's how I choose to look at it. But again, it's all choice and perception and what you choose, how you choose to view something. And so that's, you know, and that can also apply to work. You know, you put yourself in the other person's situation to understand them better rather than just make it about how you feel, how it's affecting you. You know, you have to kind of step out of your own way in order, I think, to really be a leader.
With that said, so what is next for Miss Jenny Poulos? You're going to have the second baby, which is a feat. We just talked about that, readjusting to a brand new little one and then watching her grow up and become independent. But what is next in terms of career and life for you? What do you want to do next?
I want to continue to create great programming, both for children and adults. I'm working on a scripted drama series right now and a kids show, which I've been working on for quite some time with a great group of people, you know, two individual groups of people, but I'm very passionate and excited about both, so stay tuned. So I'm still creating music. In fact, we just recorded something today. We're modernizing a lot of children's nursery rhymes, and we were lucky enough to have Colby Calais come in and do one for us. You know, her and I are going to be doing a rendition of Down by the Bay. So I'm really excited about great programming for kids. You know, in this particular show, my focus is to try to teach kids how to cope. I think that there isn't enough of that out there in our education system, and I've been fortunate enough to have the director of my daughter's preschool, who's 30 years in child education and development, be able to help bring her philosophy to me, and we're actually working together trying to speak more, you know, around the country to reach out to people and say, you know, your kids should. The most important thing that they can learn in addition to reading and writing and math is coping skills, you know, which I think isn't addressed enough. And in order to cope as an adult, don't you have to learn how to cope as a child? I just want to continue to entertain and tell great stories, and, you know, hopefully people will still want to listen and watch. And then my work with Beth is, you know, still as wonderful as ever, and we're having a nice time. We're currently, you know, working on some great projects, and his products are doing very well. He continues to move forward with that in Home Depot, so I'm very excited for him because it's been years of hard work, and still loving, you know, he helped me redo my backyard this last year. So I kind of became an actual practice what I preach, and I tell you, it's very stressful.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that was probably stressful.
I understand it now even more so than the, you know, 15 years I've been alongside someone that does it. So once you're in it, you think, oh, I understand why he gets so stressed out. I get it.
So what has been the secret for you guys' chemistry for 15 years?
You know, I think that we all respect each other, and we are a family, you know, as dysfunctional as that may sound, it's true. We are a family, and so I think people have related to that, because if you work either in a big corporation or a smaller business, you know, you get to know the people you work with, and you have your dynamics. And I think people have enjoyed watching that. And, you know, I think Jeff is really great at what he does. He's very passionate about it. So I believe that's what has also kept people interested in the show. And if there's been something for everyone, whether you relate to Zoila or myself or Gage or Jeff, you know, I can't really tell you I know the answer. I can tell you that we're very pleasantly surprised that we've made, you know, made it to 10 years on the air.
Wow. I mean, it's a good thing because so many of the, especially for females, so many of the success for females on reality television has been centered around them fighting. It's been about contention, you know? And as you say,
absolutely.
Yeah, your family is a little dysfunctional. It works, you know? It works.
It does. And, you know, we've all had our moments and we still do, but we care about each other. And we care about the work. And, you know, at the end of the day, we would all do anything for one another. So I think that's part of maybe what has kept people watching. And that the other thing is I think, you know, our show, we shoot a long time. It's very, very real. What you see is what you get. And I think people will appreciate that. You know, we're very true to what's happening is what's really happening. So when people say, oh, did you get in a fight in the car like that? Well, yes. Oh, you know, did this happen with Jeff's client? Well, yes. You know, oh, okay. Did Jeff actually live in his remodel and tear half the house down while he was living in it? Well, yes. You know, and that's not for the sake of the viewer. That's his real life. And so I think his life has been so action-packed that it's made for good television.
And speaking of television and music, you've done some music. You know, the theme for one of Bravo's other shows. And your return to music, Missy. Are you going to do any more rapping? is that something you see in your future?
You know it. You know it. I will never not rap, and the haters can hate, and the players can play. That's what we're gonna do.
I love you for that. Let me ask you, what do me?
Thank you.
How did you get into rap? You, young Greek girl. You know, where did you find your love for rap? Who did you hear?
Well, when I was young, you know, and in high school, and even in eighth grade, I loved everyone from Young MC to Will Smith, to all, you know, I loved how rap told the story, and I loved the music, and I loved just the storytelling of it as well as the musical part of it. So then I just was a big fan of rap and hip-hop. And then when I was in college, my friends had been in a band called Hot and the Biscuit, and the one girl decided she wasn't going to do it anymore, so I had filled in. And then I became a part of that band, and that's where it really kind of went to the next level for me. We performed at the Viper Room all over Los Angeles, and we did a few albums. We did a couple music videos, and it was comedy rap, but I just really enjoyed it. And then I started creating more and more of my own rap. I mean, there isn't a wedding, birthday party, bat mitzvah, you name it, I will rap for you. And so it's become a real love for me that's just continued on. And again, you know, this is my thing to people. Some people make fun of it. Some people say, stop rapping. I get that all the time. And I say, you just keep doing what you love and run your own race. So that's a message to people out there that have a passion and they think, oh, it's silly, I'll never be able to do this. But the people that have enjoyed the rap, they continue to enjoy it and continue to enjoy my music. And so I'm so excited to create more of that.
Oh, so who's your favorite rapper? Tell me.
Oh, that's tough. I do love Eminem. And I do love, like I said, old school Will Smith. Very, you know, parents just don't understand. I love, like, I wish rap told even more of a story. Jay-Z is amazing. I have a lot of favorites. And then, you know, Young MC, Digital Underground, Humpty Dance is one of my favorites.